Okay, well, rewind. We begin our time together in the awareness of God revealed as our transcendent Father, our omnipresent Son, and the immanent Holy Spirit, the divine indwelling. Amen. We're reading again this evening, as we usually do, reading our liturgical scripture for today, and listening to it with the ears of the work for any ideas, any work ideas that we may hear in it. And in addition to that, any place where it's touched you, that made a special connection with you emotionally, we can talk about that afterwards. I'll read it three times with a little bit of time in between each one. And then after the third, we'll have the opportunity to share whatever we heard from it. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, from the third chapter, verses 16 through 21. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 31 through 36. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does not accept his testimony, whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. As we open our eyes and we have an opportunity now to share anything that we heard, any work ideas or special meanings from that scripture. Yes, thank you, Alan.
I heard the words, or they stood out. Really big. He does not ration his gift. And if I self-observe and look at Alan, I see him rationing. Holding back just a little here and there.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Thank you. Sandy.
I heard from above, and it made me think of the conscious circle of humanity or see influences. And the last 6 months have been challenging life events and a lot of big stuff for this one to take in. And so I keep looking up for answers because that's the only thing that I know to do. And so that's what came to me was I'm so grateful to know that they're up there and they're sending me the message and I just have to keep doing my work. That's and maybe someday I'll receive.
Thank you, Sandy. Other work ideas or impressions from it? Yes, Anna.
I heard scales. But most importantly, I heard the wrath of God, and this reading used to just make me cringe, the wrath of God. But then, as I listened to it the third time, it had a different meaning this time. It tells me that when I am identified, I cannot hear higher influences. The wrath really is upon me. Especially when I identify.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that part connected with me too. we have to do a lot of transposing in our minds from the older language and the interpretations, the translations, and also recognizing the audience, the level of humanity that was the audience at the time of the original scriptures were being written. And today, the wrath of God, we would call it something entirely different. Some would call it sin and the effects of sin. Here, we would call it what? Sleep. Exactly, sleep. And the effects of sleep is suffering. And the work gives us an opportunity to do what with our suffering? Sacrifice it, work against it, recognizing that I have a right not to be negative. I can work. I can use these teachings to awaken, to alter my psychology. Just like our phone keeps getting upgrades, system upgrades. Here we are getting an upgrade. Yeah, other places where it touched us. Camilla.
I heard, and I wish I could quote it verbatim, but something about if we believe in the Son of God, we'll have eternal life. So self-remembering. But what if it's really not what we normally think of as believing in the Son of God? When we self-remember, we're remembering that we are children of God. And when we really live like that, we have joy, an abundant life, which could be described as whatever was meant by the word eternity. Who knows what that word really was? Yeah. But, you know, I was brought up thinking that meant after you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to believe in the Son of God is believing that I am a son or daughter of God. And it changes the whole
indeed
picture.
Yeah, indeed.
That's a pretty powerful self-remembering.
Yes. Yeah, it is. In how blessed we are to simply remember God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for bringing that part in. Cynthia first, and then we'll go across the room.
I just heard abundance coming from above and being available, and you don't have to believe you can try it on. And I heard within that it's an abundance through faith, mm-hmm. and that faith comes from hearing Christ, hearing the word of God, which takes me back to self-remembering.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Melanie.
I heard above. And when I took that in, it was like a mantra. And I heard, and now, and now, and now, and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Yes. Would you tell me your name, please?
Joseph.
Thank you, Joseph.
I just wanted to touch on that. I was also hearing eternal. And I remember, I think it was from Peter, was saying that an early translation of it was something closer to full spectrum, like a full spectrum living. And that when you are open to the mystery, when you're open to the miracles, it just opens up this much more full spectrum in you. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of my takeaway from that.
Thank you, Joseph.
Sure.
Yeah, this whole thing about eternity in life is really quite peculiar. That the moment that we just had where we started this sentence is gone. That part of life is gone. And we're living a life, and we know that that life is going to have a limited particular amount of time. And yet, we also have this thing called eternity. And we've got those who are up ahead, further up ahead of us, like Bernadette, who said, the only death you will ever experience is the death of your false self. From then on, you pass on from this existence, life continues to go on. The mystics have been saying this for so long. It's just a peculiar thing to be living a human life with the time-bound ideas that we have, and yet also be living an eternal life. So mysterious. Anything else from the teaching? Catherine.
I heard, yes, God is trustworthy. And I'm sort of basking in that feeling, and then there comes the wrath word. So I just kind of decided to focus on God is trustworthy. And in work terms, for me, that's just a faith statement, which I guess is like a form of self-remembering or a third force to my life, first and second forces. If God is trustworthy, then that third force will work for my good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Yeah. Just a small scripture and so many work ideas in it. So many ways to connect us with the divine. Yeah. Anything else before we go on to the week that we've just experienced? Well, thank you all for your sharing with this. So we had a week where we were focusing on recognizing identification, beginning to practice self-remembering. So I'm going to cue up one paragraph with where we left off last week and where we came from. As most of us do not know much about all of this at present, that we have to start observing how we leak force owing to this lack of establishing an inner place in ourselves which resists the outer plane of life, so that nothing can enter without the consent of the inner plane. Establishing an inner place in ourselves which resists the outer plane of life, so that nothing can enter without the consent of the inner plane. We are taught that we must resist life. Yes, but how? First, we have to observe how we react mechanically to life. We must resist the effects that life has on us at different moments, and realize that if in the way that we take life there is nothing in us that can gradually resist, how can we expect to grow internally and eventually form a second body, as it is called? To remember oneself has to take the place of identifying, and that was the essence of our work exercise for the week. Not to identify begins to make possible another psychology, another body, a new man, a new woman. But what were our experiences in working with that during the week? The practice of self-remembering, or of seeing that we're beginning to get identified, and rather than giving in to those forces, consciously making a choice to separate and begin to practice self-remembering. What did we get from that, from the week? Frank, thank you.
This one got a little bit of space. And a good example of how put this to work was today, this morning. As the morning went on, there were all these eyes that were having these minor problems, you know, from taking a coffee pot and throwing it against the, you know, a thermos against the wall and all over the floor, to, you know, having a car with its check engine light, to, you know, being let, you know, just one thing after another. And instead of getting uptight about it, I just kept thinking, well, this is somebody going through some weird stuff, you know, trying to come to grips with, you know, them doing this or that. That's, you know, that's silly. What are they, you know, there's this judge there too that's watching it all. I just got to see a bunch of eyes and to try to name them, and was sometimes disappointed, but more often just sort of shocked that things that were there to be seen in a different way for so long were not. They were instead taken with identification, total identification, and as a consequence, a disaster, because this one would try to do as soon as this one was identified, fix it, and it didn't work. And it worked so well, applying these particular principles of just when seeing it, remembering this is just a child of God that's going through this, and it's going to happen everywhere on the planet, to in one way or another, to people. So, you know, don't bite. And I just got a little bit of room, I felt like, that I, instead of biting on to stuff, I was able to sit back enough to even do a little bit of observation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Frank. Frank, do you recall the time a few years ago that we had the work exercise of seeing an event happening and knowing that, having a little bit of space and knowing that that event is going to trigger something negative in us? And the theme was, don't take the bait. You recall that?
Yes, I do.
It was powerful.
Just a little bit of space.
Yes. Yep. Just a little bit. To remember, oh, I've seen this before. Somebody drives like this. I react like this. Don't take the bait. Or someone in the office does this. Don't take the bait. The worldly things, as we heard in Scripture. Yeah. Instead, practice the presence of God. Yeah. Thank you. What else do we have from the week? Yes. Thank you, Jan.
About a year ago, I bought a mattress at Mattress Firm, and the guy said, I asked him if he liked his job, and he said, well, now there's a Mattress Firm on every corner. So I started noticing every single place. So I decided that every time I saw a Mattress Firm, instead of getting all negative, I would self-remember. It became my, you know, kind of... And I mean, I can do it, well, I don't know, sometimes 5-10 times a day.
Yeah.
Now everybody else is going to see those Mattress Firms and self-remember.
That's good. Thank you. Share the love.
I mean, I would get so negative. And it was just that simple flip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So now, you know, and I have to do it. I really have to stop and self-remember, or else I can do it just mechanically too. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Thank you. So how many in here have a work partner? Oh, good, good. So your work partners, I hope that you share your daily aim. That's what that is, isn't it? It's a small aim, a daily aim. I see a Starbucks, or I see a Mattress Firm, or... whatever it is, whether you set the beeper on your watch so that every hour you hear that beep, oh, let's remember God in this moment. Yeah, that's so good to do that with our work partners, is come up with ways that we can remember. Yeah, thank you.
Mattress Firm is as good as a beeper on the phone every 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who doesn't like a good mattress? Rusty.
I was about to, it was Thursday of last week, about to make a trip up to Dallas for kind of a professional and also personal reason, and had a project that I was working on that started to come off the tracks. And I remember distinctly being about 45 minutes up I-35 and talking to one of my cohorts at Little Work and saying, do I need to come back? You know, I said, no, we're going to do everything we can. Go ahead and follow through with what you're doing. And it was, again, the inner and the outer, how easy it is to dwell on this issue over the time that I was supposed to be at these events and being present, and I was able to get some separation until the next morning. Woke up early, started to drive back to Austin, and started to get identified with what all that could go wrong. A lot of stuff had to really happen very well on Friday to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. And it was my work partner conversation that was able to take me out of that identification with results, mm-hmm. and just do the next thing. And if it just went off the rails, how bad is that? And there was a little idea that seeped in our conversation. And my thought was, well, when I finish this conversation, I'll call back to the office, and maybe this might be a way of approaching the issues that we have. And when I finished the conversation, I could see that a counterpart at work had been trying to get a hold of me and had the exact same idea. And it was kind of off, you know, out of the box. So, again, the whole idea and effort of convincing somebody, well, all of a sudden, you know, you're just kind of in the same wavelength all of a sudden. And it just, the day just unfolded beautifully. Yeah. And but it was that gift of being able to speak to a friend of the work, yeah. early in the morning, yeah. and being able to set your aim, yeah. on a very challenging day and to see it unfold in a beautiful way, yeah. that was an incredibly tangible blessing.
Yeah, very good. Would you mind, what were the name of the eyes that you observed?
Well, there's a pride eye of being of things going well for my customers. Uh-huh. And okay. I take an exceptional amount of pride, yep. and go through hell and high water to try and keep people happy around me.
Yeah.
It is a nine thing. I just want people happy. Around me, and this would have been, in that person's mind, a disaster if things did not happen right. Yeah. So pride is the main thing. It's that looking out on behalf of the customer, uh-huh. and taking undue pride in how I, quote, think I do that.
Yeah.
That was probably the most prevalent eye for me, mm-hmm. And it was good to see it. Yes. It comes up a lot.
Yeah,
it takes less. And less force, but it's still moments that can be highly anxious, yeah. to where it comes and I am a mess to be around, mm-hmm. when that eye is in full,
yeah.
motion.
Yeah. And interesting as it is that the pride is in delivering that really good service, and yet from your recounting, it seems like one of the effects of the pride was an imagination of what could go wrong.
Yeah.
How peculiar is that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It'll just take you into all kinds of imagination.
Right, it will.
And what's funny is that I can have the exact same moment happen, event happen again, and I never feel that.
Yeah.
It never comes up. But it came up that time.
Yeah. And it came back on the drive back.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you suppose that might have been in inquiring over the experience of it all?
I think the main thing was that for whatever reason, I was able to get some separation through the evening, mm-hmm. and I really did not dwell on it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just being in the car, it was dark,
yeah.
and the imagination starts to
yeah.
set.
Yeah. Very good. So you had the observation, and you got some separation.
Mm-hmm.
What about the third part?
You know, I think that was the one thing, because I think there could have been a better job on the self-remembering.
Yeah. You think and, that might have something to do with it coming back again, reoccurring so quickly?
It could very well have. It could very well have. I still also think it was an event that was still an octave that's still playing itself out.
Yeah, right.
And so it was just working its way through the intervals.
Very good.
And but it definitely, yeah. I think self-remembering could have been a much greater friend.
Yeah, perfect. Well,
than
it's
it was.
There, it's there for
the next time.
For next time.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
The idea of taking that energy when we separate from it. This is called internal consideration. This is called wrong. This is called frustration. Whatever it is. And then we realize in a moment from separation, I really love how you identified that separation. And there's a space now, and there's the experiences. There's available energy right now of my life force. Now, if I don't use that in a conscious way, what's going to happen with it? It's going to return back to negativity, because that is our pattern. That's how we've been cultured. So we've got to use that opportunity to practice self-remembering and practice it in a way that is not, as Jan said, it's not mechanical. It's a conscious form of self-remembering. I am a child of God, and you can see those thoughts and you can feel the conviction of those thoughts. Now we've got two centers. And then you can sense the conviction of that and the truth of that in your body. Now you are practicing self-remembering. And all of a sudden, from that distance, from that which is above, now you're having a different moment. And, oh my gosh, mile marker 320, just 10 miles up the road, I was going through hell. And now I'm having an entirely different experience in 10 miles because of using that free energy force for practicing who we really are. What we really are is better said. Yeah, thank you, Rusty. Thanks for staying with that. Martin?
We've been working on self-remembering for several weeks now, and I had an event 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it really gave me appreciation, I guess, for what I'll define as space here. But I was in this situation when Mr. Kind was there and Mr. Gentleman was there, and I couldn't get away, but the person I was with was completely arresting the space. And so I could not self-remember. I could not get out of it. It was just, I felt like my intellectual center was sitting there in a state of how do I break in? My emotional center was angry, and I was all knotted up, and I was stuck. So what this did for me was to appreciate space. And so after this event, I found that if I get myself into a situation like that, I really need to do a better three-centered observation and get out of it. But now I'm seeking space. If, for instance, hopping in the car, Mr. Wants Distraction, we'll turn the radio right on for whatever. I don't know. It might be music, might be news, might be something else. Well, it's nice to resist that and just enjoy the space. So some of the exercises over the weeks, in terms of self-remembering, it has been so much easier to just get away from the thoughts, the things that are coming in. Resist life, as it says in the commentary. We talked about hermetic seal, and I'm not sure I can get to that, but it might be nice. I'm not sure what kind of person I would appear to be if I was hermetically sealed every day. But it's just interesting. So the whole thing I'm saying here is that this idea of space, I didn't realize how important it was until it was completely taken away from me, or at least these kind and gentleman eyes just could not deal with it being taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. The work principle that comes to mind immediately when hearing that is, if I can't help it,
will it. Yeah.
Put yourself in the place of master, of authority, and say, we will have this experience. And I'm going to take some delight in observing it. Even as mean and uncomfortable and frustrated it feels inside, those are just eyes. Those are just sensations, thoughts. Mm-hmm. But now, what you do with the space is of particular interest, though, right? Yeah. Because, again, it's that deadly loop. Free energy, it will be transformed into something. So the practice of self-remembering, that's a good place for a chant. What else? What else would you do? We've all been in that moment where we're up against it and we cannot separate from it. It's not that time. We are just going to have to experience this. So we begin to practice self-remembering. What do you do in a moment like that? What is your practice of self-remembering? Yes, Camilla. What would you use as a practice of self-remembering in that moment?
Well, I go back to remembering that this is not my essence. It's not my eternal self. Yeah. You know, we could put all kinds of different words to that, yeah. But I believe... Yeah. I never was born. I never will die. My real essence is forever. Mm-hmm. And it changes everything.
Yeah.
Takes the pressure off for me in needing to perform appropriately, excellently. And, you know, we don't talk in the, at least since I've been coming here, I haven't heard a lot of talk about the soul or the part of us that is eternal, immortal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, wow.
Yeah.
Now, you know, this could open up a whole other series of conversation, reincarnation, you know, the whole can of, maybe some would see it as worms, but it makes a huge difference for me.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you. Jan, how do you practice self-remembering in that moment?
A couple things. Sometimes I just breathe and I focus on my breathing. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'll do one of those, I'm going to say it wrong, Thich Nhat Hanh, those, you know, in love, out peace.
Yes.
Sometimes I do what you said, I'll think of a chant. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll say, God's love has always met and will always meet. I do that a lot, all my needs.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings me there.
Very good. Yeah. Anybody else? Greta. Thank you, Greta.
When we're identified, there's so many ways that we can be so self-identified we're not able to change at all our outside behavior. When that happens to me, I mean that completely identified state, I try to do an inner stop because I know it will, if I try to do an outer stop and nothing happens, I try to do an inner stop. And as Jan said, it can be a breath. It's a stepping back. It's a way to self-observe. And when we self-observe, we can break away from that emotional identification with the formatory center, with the moving center, with the behavior that we're experiencing. And that gives us a chance to self-remember, even as we are screaming, as I am screaming or yelling or throwing a thermos against the wall. as long as I can non-identify with that action by self-observing, by making that division, there's some hope. Perhaps it's not in the present, but it can help to preserve a memory of that time for the future, for looking at, for analysis, for feeling into, for dissecting, as you were saying, about looking at the various eyes that are up and forming this troop of negative and or at least habitually reacting parts of myself that have nothing to do with the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Suzanne. A couple rows back, right behind you, Rita.
Yeah. I had to have a confrontation this week with somebody I work with. And, you know, confrontation, scary, powerful. I was very identified with all the things I had to say, my argument, and anticipating what she would say. I talked with my work partner about it, and she recommended having a future memory of both of us coming out satisfied with, you know, in agreement. And so I did that, and then we got off the phone, and I just decided I would go into this confrontation seeing her and myself in Christ, or, yeah, seeing both of us in the body of Christ. And so it came the time mid-afternoon for our meeting, and we were both very nervous about it, and we just started talking, and so we had this confrontation, and it was quite literally a come-to-Jesus meeting, because it was just like, it felt completely different from what I had initially anticipated. It went smoothly. We both made the arguments we needed to make, but it was so kind. There was no harshness about it, and I came out of it feeling like it was the best communication I'd had with someone I work with all week. So they were very simple but very powerful changes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Who else said that? Andy.
Yeah, I was able to use scale as one of those tools.
Perfect.
I guess Ray of Creation.
Yep.
And there was a Google Earth commercial years ago. And the screen's black, and there's just this dot in the middle, and then they keep zooming. Soon it's a marble Earth, and then it's a continent with clouds. And then suddenly you're zooming into states, cities, and someone's backyard.
Yeah.
And that goes through my mind when I'm knotted up, saying,
yes,
wait a minute, here, yeah, I sit in this meeting room or in my office at home, yeah, stressing. And it's like, wait a minute, let me zoom out for a second.
Perfect.
The only time I'll thank Google.
Yeah, the cosmology is so impactful on our psychology in moments like that. When you realize you're sitting on a planet that's probably circling on its perimeter near where we are at 900 miles an hour going around. Meanwhile, the planet's probably moving close to 2,000 miles an hour around the sun, and here we are walking and having an argument with somebody. Something's just out of scale there. From the sun's point of view, it doesn't give a flip about what's going on in that moment. Yeah. So what point of view do we want to have? Yeah. That's a really good one. David first. And then Tamara.
So the experience I had this week was yesterday with my oldest daughter. And what I like about my relationship with her is that it allows me, just having a relationship with my daughter allows me to find that space to get into coming from more true I. Because I see such a mirror of myself in her. You know, I wish I had that superpower with everyone else in my life, but as far as dealing with her. So she's flying back from the East Coast. She's looking at two different grad schools, and there's a lot of emotion in choosing these schools. And then her flight out of Philadelphia to Chicago was late, so she missed her connection to Austin. So now she's not going to get in at 5. She's going to get in at 10 p.m. And there's all this internal considering that she's going through, right? She's in Chicago, and she's angry and upset, and her mom doesn't want to pick her up at 10 o'clock, and all of this stuff. And I'm prepared in the conversation, Donald, because I just know how to take a different space, right? So I see the eyes that want to pop up that she's wanting to get in this story with me, and how the irritated eye wants to pop up. But I said, let me just take that moment, self-remember, and reposition. So I just said, what are you feeling? And then all of a sudden, she was able to uncover that she was hungry. And so I said, well, just understand that when you're hungry, when your body's not feeling well, it'll bring the emotional side out of you in a much more negative way. So she got something to eat, called back. All of a sudden, she's calming down, right? And the flight attendants weren't late because they were trying to upset her day. And so we just stayed present to this whole thing where she just realized, I'm just going to get home. Everything's going to be fine. Just going to be 10 o'clock at night. But I just felt really good about having that space to be present, mm-hmm. to be that, to absorb that energy,
yeah.
and not return it. Even though I saw what they wanted to do was, I had a lot going on, and she just wanted to banter. And it's like, everything's fine.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Tamara?
So my work partner has been a big help to me. I tend to get caught up in family scenarios where I think that everybody wants me to solve everything and I need to hurry up and solve it. I'm a 9, so we watched a movie the other night that I'd never seen before called Dead Men Walking with Susan Sarandon, and it was such a great movie for me because I saw in Susan what I need to be. And what my work partner said to me was, your intellectual center likes images as opposed to your your emotional center likes images. And my intellectual center has always been saying, this is what I need to try to be and be more loving and just be present to these people and just love them, as opposed to trying to solve everything and fix everything and feeling like I need to jump in and end up ruining everything anyways by jumping in. So that was so amazing to me, because then the aim for the week, it was like, I want to try to be like that. She goes, you want to be Susan Sarandon? I go, yes, I want to be Susan Sarandon and Dead Man Walking, because she, in that whole movie, all she is she's just loving and she's present. She's not trying to solve all their problems, and she's not trying to, just put her, adding any more negative energy to the situation. She's just trying to be loving. She's just love in the movie, the sister in the movie. So anyways.
Thank you. Thank you. Melanie.
So I appreciate that question about self-remembering and how to come back to it, because I was sitting here feeling into it, and then I realized that what I do is actually go into the subtle body. Mm-hmm. And I always, the body was first, but the subtle body comes, the awareness of that, as you are more in touch with what's happening in the movement in the body. And it feels like this boundless... it's where you're melting into the eternal. You're actually really self-remembering. And then I was wondering about how the time body is related to the subtle body. So I don't know that. Could you say something about that?
We talked a little bit about that last week, because what we're at, the point we're at right now, is moving from this body to the second body, the new psychological body, and most of us, to a person, has the psychology that who we are is this body. And it's completely set aside the idea of spirit, soul, but that which is eternal in us. And so the transformation that we're interested in is a practice of self-remembering that brings us into the place where, as in Scripture we heard today, that which is earthly is going to be heard earthly. That which is above is going to be heard from a different place and is going to connect with something different. Well, that's the type of impressions that we want to consciously choose to be a part of that's going to form this second body, this new psychological body. And we're just coming off of Holy Week when we had the most extraordinary display of what it is like to be in a world where Jesus the Christ is being crucified in the horizontal world of earth and constantly staying in contact with what? The Father. Never breaking away from the relationship with the Father. The most extraordinary practice of self-remembering. While events on earth are happening as they're happening, we have the opportunity to practice transformation as Christ. What's our annual aim this year? Does anybody remember what that is? Evolving as Christ. Exactly. And so we become Melanie the Christ, Martin the Christ. Each of us. But we do that by practicing in a place that's called self-remembering. And we're in April, and remember what the card is for this month? Seeds. Seeds of new life. Do you remember how we ended the commentary last week? If there were nothing there for us to become, then what? But we know that there is. So esoterically, we are called seeds. This is a fundamental idea of the work. We are seeds. We're God's seeds. So amidst all this identification we have, all of these events that happen to each of us uniquely in our own way throughout the day, we have the opportunity to observe what the programming is in relationship to those events coming in. And then we have the opportunity to name it, to separate from it, to recognize that these are impressions that are coming in. And these impressions are falling on places of association. And that there's going to be a natural response back to it, a programmed response back to it. And our opportunity is to separate from that, get some space as we've heard it, and then begin to practice as the Christ. Now sometimes the event is so powerful and we're in it so deep and it's touched something in us that is so ingrained in our network, our personality, that you can't separate from it right then and there realistically. You're in it. But then there's grace in that too, because we've got this great work idea that when tried in retrospect, you verify it's true. When self-observation is happening, nothing is wasted. So even if it gets identified, even if you can't practice separation in that moment, and if you can't do either of those two things, well, obviously, self-remembering is beyond us in that moment. But we can always come back. We can always come back and revisit it. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about changing time? Oh yeah. Time can be changed. Time that is past can be changed. Because time is our own unique subjectivity. So in these weeks here where we're really focusing on self-remembering, we want to understand that self-remembering doesn't have to be done in that particular moment, the moment of an event. Ideally, yes, but sometimes it's not possible. But through self-observation, we can get some distance. We can go back at a quiet time in our home or in another place, close the door in our office, get in the car, go to some place where we're by ourselves, and then we've got just a little bit more distance from the circumstances that look familiar in the event that we were under. And it's at that time that we can then recapitulate the experience and get a fuller observation. Name the eyes, and it can be so simple. This is called being vindictive. This is called losing my patience. This is called being unkind. You get the opportunity to just be as pure and clean with that. The question was asked last week. It was a really good question about scathing honesty. What is scathing honesty? What is the experience of it? And the experience of it has a lot to do with the taste of no storyline. This is called being vindictive. Pure, plain, and simple. The thoughts of vindictiveness, the emotion of vindictiveness, the feeling of it in the body, the name of it. Vindictive. That's honest. And from that place, the separation can be so clear. Wow, this is just an energy going through me. This is not who I am. I'm Christ's child. Now we've moved on. We're taking that energy and we're claiming a new psychology, a new body with that energy that was before that consuming our life force. Do you get how this works when you put all three of them together? And so these commentaries on self-remembering. I mean, self-remembering is a topic that we could talk about forever. It's inexhaustible. So towards that, let's go on a little bit further in the commentary that we've got for tonight, which is further ideas on self-remembering. And this is on page 1335. Yeah, we are talking a lot tonight about what to do, what work ideas to bring in, what ways of practicing self-remembering when it's a big moment, when the eyes that is up is such an entrenched eye that we can't get easy separation from it. But the work, we should also be clear, encourages us to always be vigilant in working in the small areas, the little small irritations. Work there. That's where you build a body of force that stays with you, that helps to form the real interior, the real small parts of this new body that's being produced. Okay, here we go. When a man is very excited, he does not remember himself. True? Yeah, when I read that, I'm like, well, you know what? Wait a minute. Yeah, that's really true for me. Yeah. It's completely under the suggestibility of the moment. And usually it's because it's a pleasant emotion. And so we're encouraged by the pleasant emotion, but doggone it, I forget myself during those times. I don't observe. So yeah. It's the suggestibility of the moment. When he was with us, O used to say that hypnotism and suggestibility are two different things. He said that hypnotism is a special state induced by a person hypnotized by another person. And in this connection, he also added that G had said that Western people do not know the secrets of real hypnotism. In my earlier career, I practiced hypnotism for about a year and came to the conclusion that it was a special state which one could induce in patients as, for example, one could tell the patients that they would not be afraid of this or that. Now remember that Nichols studied with Carl Jung for quite a while. For a certain time it appeared to work, but I always found that the fear or phobia returned in greater force later on. The law of what? Law of the pendulum. Yep, comes back and it swings. Real hypnotism, as induced in Eastern schools, requires long training. the hypnotized person, for example, being repeatedly told over and over again, time after time, that by repeating certain words to himself, he could lie on a bed of sharp nails. This creating in the patient the power of self-hypnotism and, as I said, it requires a long time to bring about this result and leads nowhere in regards to personal development. However, I would add that the practice of self-remembering in the same way will add something new to your life. Because it's changing the psychology. It's not changing the external conditions. It's changing how we are processing those conditions. Now, in ordinary life, we do not have to overcome this special condition of hypnotism. We have to overcome suggestibility. It does not require much self-observation to notice how one is extraordinarily suggestible all day long to what one hears or reads and sees or is told. You listen to a speech that you think very powerful, and then you listen to an opposite speech and you think that is very powerful. Advertising, propaganda, etc., are based on the suggestibility of man or woman. One does not have to look very far, probably within ourselves, but also outside of ourselves, to see how divisive suggestibility has become in our times today. This suggestibility in ourselves is one of the greatest weaknesses and leads to imitation. Now, if a man could remember himself, he would not be so suggestible in this way. I want to stop for a moment. And remember earlier in the early commentaries in volumes 1 and 2, when this idea of suggestibility came up, and the work has this practice of taking the other side of a position? Do you remember? Yeah. It's not easy all of a sudden to become a Republican when you've always been Democrat, or to become a Democrat when you've always been a Republican, or a gun rights when you've been an anti-gun, or a hip-hop lover when you've always enjoyed Bach. But it says, take the other side. Try the other side. The idea is to break the attachments, break the associations, and get into a new position so that we're not identified in a particular way with everything that comes through us through the senses. Right? So he would notice what was coming in as suggestion through every sense and hold himself away from it. Just think how a single word dropped in your ear can change your relationship to a friend. This, of course, happens only if you have not begun to have a conscious relationship with your friend. What does he mean by that? If you haven't begun to have a conscious relationship with your friend. That's what we do here at this church so well. We see the Christ is the other, because we've practiced the Christ as ourself in self-remembering. So we're seeing through Christ's eye. And that's why when a person says something that's off, or they say something that lands onto a party platform within me that doesn't resonate with the position that I most favor, well, we can remember, oh, that's Christ. It's a Christ. We are particles of the oneness. Yeah? Do you get what I mean with this? Yeah. It's one of the things I love about this community. There's a lot of people that don't like to go to church when they're in that place, in that dark place, and being seen with the darkness all over their, you know, all over their expressions. They'd rather stay home and away from church. And when they're over it, come back when they're all sunshiny. Not here. Here we come for the light. And sometimes we're in that dark place, and we just allow the community to shed the light on us. That's what we do when we're working with our work partners. And goodness, there's no better place that we practice that than the second line group. When someone's processing an experience that they're having, and we can hold, we can self-remember for the other person when they can't self-remember for themselves. This, of course, happens only if you've begun, if you've not begun to have a conscious relationship with your friend. That's when the identification happens. But when you have begun to get away from the mechanical action of impressions on you, you begin to see how in others suggestibility plays havoc with their lives. A man who is in a state of self-remembering, even a partial state, can resist the influences of life with their suggestibility. One of the things that Tim does almost every Lent, gives up what? The news. The news. When we go back through and we talk about, we just read in the paragraph before that, how much we are receiving negative emotions, the suggestibility, the impressions that are being forced on us. He steps away from it. He does not yield himself very easily to the excitement of the passing moment. Excitement of a passing moment? When I'm watching the news and I'm watching a horror situation and I can't turn away from it and I'm infatuated with it, the work says that that's loving what? We love our what? We're entertained by it, and it's very difficult to walk away from it, isn't it? And yet we realize that this is an event. This is a story that we've seen happen before and before and before. And it just keeps happening in a different time, in a different place. And yet, what is it about me that just wants to tune into it and won't turn away from it? Why is it that when I'm feeling negative, it's so difficult for me to separate from it, to step away from it? We are patterned. This is just sleep. This is what some would call sin, but we call it sleep because we didn't do this. It's just how we were cultured. But now, this is our second education, and the new man, the new human is being born here. And the price that we have to pay for this is a transfer of energy away from these impressions. In other words, he begins to have something in him that is distinct from life. He begins to lead life more consciously. You know that it is said that mechanical man is on the edge of a precipice, esoterically speaking, and that there is very little hope for him unless he looks up. If he looks up, he will see a rope above his head. To catch this rope, he must jump. What does he mean by that? He must jump. Make effort. Make effort. Leave what? Leave the ground you're standing on psychologically. Yeah. And this is why we, at the beginning of the class, one of the reasons that we go around, we listen to Scripture, and we say, what did you hear in the Scripture? What work ideas did you hear? So, right, these are ways that connect us with the ideas. They hook the work ideas up to us so that in a moment we jump. We've got a work idea that is ready there for us to grab onto. To catch this rope, he must jump. It is just this jumping to catch this rope that the word payment or paying the price refers to. See, this is the place where we're giving up our suffering. We're sacrificing our suffering. And it's not so easy when you really have self-observed long enough and you realize that I'm kind of attached to my suffering. I kind of enjoy it. I kind of talk about it to others. Kind of listen to their suffering. That, yeah, I suffer like that too. Yeah. Some people think that it is a sudden thing that happens only once or does not happen. But this is quite wrong. It's happening all the time, every day. When swamped with your mechanical reactions to life, you have to jump to lift yourself above your machine. That is to say, you must remember yourself You must be able to distinguish yourself from life. You must be able to distinguish yourself from life. How canny is it that we had that scripture today from John about that which is above and that which is on earthly, the life that we're talking about? And here our commentary is saying the same thing, but it's saying it in common words outside of a church. And we get to put the two of them together by grace. You must be able to distinguish yourself from the uproar produced in you by mechanically reacting to your external situation. You must go against life and its actions on you, and not imitate through suggestibility. If you have never observed what the action of life is on you, you cannot do this. In fact, you probably have not the slightest idea of what this means, and the work will remain sheer Greek to you, even though you've been attending these classes for many years. Now this jumping up, this lifting yourself, is catching the rope. This is self-remembering. The natural man, the mechanical man, literal man, the mass-controlled man, the sense-based man, that is, external sense-based man, can never make this inner movement himself. But a man who has magnetic center, that is, a man who believes in something else apart from life as we experience sensually, such a man entering the work, and with the help of the cosmic diagrams, thank you, Andy. In fact, all the teachings of the work may be able momentarily to attain this higher level of consciousness called the state of self-remembering, self-consciousness, or self-awareness, and later actually dwell at a level above his ordinary self. A man who has confirmed the truth of the work in himself over years, not just by knowing it, but by applying it to himself over years, by realizing what it means in his internal side over years, will not be able to easily be shaken by suggestibility. One reason is that he has ceased to imitate others. He will, of course, be tested from this point of view. And as long as his relationship to the work is superficial and merely a question of his external memory, he will be easily shaken and will lose contact with it. But he will not see it is being done on purpose. He will be among those mentioned in the ancient parable who run about wondering where the kingdom of heaven is, lo here, lo there. But if a man has been born into this understanding of the work of inner Christianity and has seen both its goodness and its truth, he cannot be shaken. Not only that, but he will be fed interiorly from higher centers. That's powerful. And that's why we also, in addition to practicing this work during the walking moments of our day, we also practice the silence, the prayer of silence, so that we are beginning to separate from those internal coarse vibrations and in the silence make room for those very, very fine impressions coming through the higher centers to make touch with our awareness. And again, Father Thomas says that the divine download is happening in each of us in every moment. Interestingly, in the work, it says the same thing, only it's not using Thomas's language. Having heard that there is a new prophet who has risen and is teaching at the North Pole, he will not instantly fly to the North Pole in an aeroplane, because if he does, he will be told that the teacher has then gone to the South Pole. Why seek for the work outside yourselves? Some of you, instead of seeking for it on your own development, instead of seeking for it in your own development of understanding. Now remember, understanding is when we take what? We took work knowledge, work on the side of knowledge, and we do what with it? Apply it to our being. We put it to practice, and then we come up with an entirely different experience. One of the things that I loved about the work when first coming across it is in one of the early commentaries, Nichols says, take none of this for granted. Verify everything for yourself. And that just struck me. Having the scientific method as a training in my background, this idea of verifying it struck me as, I can get my head around that. This is no one's dogma. This is saying, put this on, try it for yourself, verify it. Then you will have understanding. Why not observe yourself from the work teaching and see yourselves and taste for yourselves its strength, its goodness, its truth? Notes for the reader. Note one. Unless a man believes that there is something higher than himself, he can never remember himself rightly. For example, the work teaches that we have something in ourselves much higher than we are at present on our level. That is, real I. Number two, the ray of creation teaches us that there are much higher levels of being than exist on earth. Earth is under 48 orders of laws. The sun, only 12 orders of laws, and so on. Our being compared with the being of the sun is very small. Three, the work teaches that we have far higher centers in ourselves that we do not use, called higher centers. They are awake always, but we are asleep to them. Number four. The work teaches that mechanical man is capable of becoming conscious man, that is, of being much higher than he is at present in being. But if he takes pride in his present being, he cannot develop. Five, when a man tries to obey the work apart from his self-love and self-emotion, he is raising his level of being. If he can listen to the work in his heart and mind, he will be shown how to work on himself and change his being. This, of course, applies to women in the same way. Again, just remember the audience in which it was written for the time. Six. But if a man believes that the universe or nature created itself and has no meaning, then he can never remember himself, because he or she believes that there is nothing higher than himself. And seven. Wouldn't you know it'd be just like Nickel to have seven? Recall that a man or woman with good magnetic center can distinguish between the influences created in life, called A influences, and those sown into life by the conscious circle of humanity, which are called B influences. Such a person, such a human, has the possibility of development. Such can be selected by the work, and such can begin to remember themselves. Our exercise for the week is observe, separate from suggestibility, and practice self-remembering in some form. So throughout the week we want to look, where am I under the influence of suggestibility? Separate from it. Practice self-remembering. If you're in a good place, you can also observe what in you is interested and is stimulated by the suggestibility. That would be a good thing. But don't spend too much time on it. Why? When we can practice the presence of God. But you might want to be interested in where it's feeding. Any questions on that exercise? Suggestibility. Anna. Can we get a microphone back to Anna in section 2?
I hear your example of self-remembering about the prayer, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, but it can be a very intellectual process.
Yes.
And my experience with early on, it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
I feel like it had to be all three centers. And for me, I think what really touched me most is the emotional center. Can I feel it? Can I really feel it? And I think that practice from the head to the heart is the true self-remembering, but it's difficult at times, especially when you're identified, to say, oh, I'm a child of God, dang it, I'm a child of God, you know, and it just doesn't go into that place.
That's right, yes. And that's why, and Anna, I'd like to add it, let's add the final center in there too. Let's practice self-remembering in the body at the same time. If I'm a child of God, I want to feel the child of God in my body. Right? I mean, this is the temple that the soul, the spirit is interacting, communicating through, experiencing life through. So for the practice of self-remembering, for me, has to be so similar to the practice of non-identification. And the practice of non-identification has to be so similar to me to the practice of self-remembering, of self-observation. And that is, you observe all three centers with each of those. Otherwise, it can just be mattress firm. All three centers in the practice of self-observation, non-identification, and self-remembering. Thank you, Anna. Okay. All right, in the closing moments, let's take up an offering for our church. And as we prepare and hold our tithes and offerings in this moment, we just have an experience of God's love pouring through us in all ways. All God, where is God not? God is in our offerings. God is in our prayers. God is everywhere. Let's remember our prayer together, that God's love is always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And together, God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. That is a wonderful prayer to practice saying in all three centers as we're saying it. To know it, to feel it, to sense it. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you, Alan. Together we bless these tithes and offerings, the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and across our planet over the lie, the illusion of separation, and are useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. Well, remember this week to practice with delight. Don't get heavy with what you observe in terms of suggestibility. It's not, daggone it, there I go again. Cannot be anything like that. This is called being suggestible. Simple as that. Amen.